Oh, jeez. Are we there yet, Sean? Sean, how much further do you think? Sean?
Brad, look. Does it look like we're at Steve Jobs' house yet? I mean, do you see a giant iPad 2 on the lawn anywhere around here?
No.
We're going to be late for this interview.
I'm bored. Oh, let's see what's on the radio.
The Daphne leaves me.
Look, can you just check the map? I'm not sure we're on the right track here.
All right, fine. Okay. Let's see. Well, looks like we have a few different ways we could go.
Well, so let's just pick a route, okay?
Well, okay. We could take the turnpike north to hit 672, and then take exit 12 to get off on the thruway, then follow the national pike till we hit the freeway, then get off and take this local highway for a bit. 672, then exit onto the turnpike till we hit the exit at, what's the name of this town? I can't even pronounce that. But that would double the toll. Or we could take a ferry from here and then double back from the other side. Oh wait, Sean. Keep a lookout for a giant fork in the road up ahead.
Oh, look at that. Okay, well, anyway, that all sounds like an awful lot of out-of-the-way driving and doubling back this, that. Is there any more direct route?
Well, we could take this blue line that seems to go straight through his backyard.
Yeah, Brad, the blue lines are rivers.
Oh, I told you we should have packed the canoe.
Velma, I want to drive my mystery machine right.
Hello. I'm Brad Grahowski, the Indie Bookman, and you're listening to the Indie Bookman Show. This is the sound of indie publishing. Sean and I never did make it to Steve Jobs' house for that interview, which is good because he hadn't really agreed to speak with us anyway. But this week we are talking about picking a route to where you want to go, especially if you aim to arrive with your published book in hand. There are many ways to get a book published these days. I like to call them paths to publishing, and this week we'll define several of these paths and then explore them. Let's start by mapping out what some of these paths are. I wanted some help with this, so I called indie publishing guru John Kramer to help us get the lay of the land. You may remember him from our show about guerrilla marketing.
I'm John Kramer. I'm the author of 1001 Ways to Market Your Books and webmaster at bookmarket.com and 10millioneyeballs.com. Well, at bookmarket.com, you get all the information on book publishing and book marketing. I have an incredible amount of information there that's all free. And then the 10 Million Eyeballs is basically a sales page for the course that I teach called 10 Million Eyeballs, which is designed to get you 10 million eyeballs in 2 years or less on the internet. Well, the big time for most authors would be a New York publisher buying the rights to their book and loving it and spending a lot of money promoting it, and you become a big-time author. Second level would be to find a good, smaller publisher, somebody like Hay House or New World Publishing or Source Books, that could take the book and publish it and make you famous as well. Those are medium-sized publishers that have created bestsellers, New York Times bestsellers. Then the third thing would be to, self-publish your book and do it that way. And, I have a self-publishing hall of fame on my website where I tell the stories of people that self-published their book and went on to be a bestseller, sell movie rights, or any number of other things that they may have done to be very successful. And, another option would be to do it print on demand, where the expense isn't very high, and you can test the market, and hopefully you find that the market is good so that you can then go into actual self-publishing or sell the rights to another publisher.
Now, I noticed you didn't mention, you mentioned
self-publishing, but you didn't mention subsidy publishing, which I think we like to differentiate between the two, though I think it gets confused sometimes. Is that, you know, publishing through iUniverse or...
Well, that's print-on-demand publishing, which I did mention.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's a possibility. I think of that as print-on-demand publishing. The thing is that there's pluses and minuses to all the different paths. And which path you choose, to me, depends on several factors. How much of a hurry are you in to get the book out? How much money do you have to spend? How much time do you have to spend? And how much knowledge do you have to carry something out on your own? And, you know, so it depends. You know, the quicker you want something out, the more you have to go towards print-on-demand or self-publishing. But if you want something to really sell and you want it in bookstores everywhere, you go towards the New York publishers or the good smaller publishers that can get a book out into the stores. But then you're giving up speed because those publishers take a year to get a book out.
Yeah, at least, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, you got compromises to make there. And then there's, you know, do you know enough to produce a good book on your own if you're going to self-publish? Will you hire an editor? Will you hire a book cover designer? Will you hire a typesetter? Or will you try doing it on your own?
Okay, so we have true self-publishing, subsidy publishing, which John refers to as pod publishing, ebook publishing, small press, and major publishing houses. That's a pretty good list of paths, I think. Now, later this season, we're going to devote an entire show to ebook publishing, so we'll save that one for another day. But let's start by taking a closer look at subsidy publishing by speaking with an author who has followed that path.
Carrie Dunnington here, author of this book, Cooks, my first cookbook, published by Ex Libris.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Ex Libris is?
Ex Libris is a subsidy publishing house. So I submit my work to them, and they have several options to choose from to get my book into spine form. And that could be anything from design, cover, font, editing. It's a full service company. So I pay them for their service, and they deliver my book.
And how do you see that differing from a traditional publishing company that might pick up your book to publish it?
Well, I guess the beauty there is there's no out-of-pocket money. With Ex Libris, there was a big out-of-pocket money on my end.
Okay, so you had to pay out of your pocket up front.
Yes, and then you pay for... You know, you pay for them to put the book together, and then you pay for each book.
And so then what was the submission process? How did you just sign up and register and then they published your book, or did you have to submit it? And, you know, was there a process like that?
No, it was a contract. You sign a contract with them.
What was the process for actually getting the book published? How did you get your manuscript to them, and how was the cover chosen? Did you have a lot of control over that, or
yes,
did you sort of...
I did. I sent the manuscript email in a Word document, and then you're assigned a representative, and that representative is the person that stays with you through the quote-unquote manufacturing process.
And that's what they call it, the manufacturing process?
They don't, actually.
Oh, okay,
that's what I named it, because
okay.
That's really what they're doing, in essence, is kind of, you know, they're just sort of manufacturing your book, because they don't really have any say. As, like, a traditional editor might say, Carrie, I think that maybe you should change... the way you talk about the technique for making bread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ex Libris would never tell me that.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of editing do they do then?
It's really spell check, basically. Punctuation. At least that's what they did with me.
Yeah. So more proofreading than editing.
Yes, much more proofreading than anything else.
What do you feel you got out of Ex Libris that you might not have gotten had you published the book yourself, or I guess if you had been picked up for your first book by a traditional publisher?
I guess what I received is the appreciation of the process and the money coming out of my pocket. And I think that it's, quote unquote, handing it over to have somebody else finish the process after I had done everything that I had done was just a feel good. It just felt good that I could. It was almost like hiring an employee to finish something that you loved and you wanted to see the end result, but you couldn't, you weren't set up, you weren't equipped to actually do it yourself. Going with subsidy publishing, I think you have to be highly, highly, highly motivated to back your book if you're going to spend that kind of money.
And what are we talking about? Hundreds of dollars or thousands or tens of thousands? Like what?
I've wound up spending probably $10,000 or $15,000 with Ex Libris, with all the books that I've ordered. And my book in its own right in the state of Maryland, even though it's in a lot of other states, has done very well. I've sold over 3,000 of them.
Would you say you were happy with Ex Libris, or, you know, would you recommend that others follow that path, or are there other paths that you would be more likely to suggest to somebody who was starting out where you were a few years ago?
Well, I think you have to take what option fits what your book's needs are and what your needs are as an author.
And that's great, because that kind of comes back to what this episode is about. We're talking about paths to publishing and exploring them. And
yes.
Okay. Where can we find out more about your book, and where is it available?
Well, it's available anywhere you can get books online.
Including authorsbookshop.com.
Yes, including the wonderful authorsbookshop.com.
Great. And the title of it one more time?
This Book Cooks by Carrie Dunnington.
Next, let's speak with Angelo Solera, an author who has truly self-published his books.
My name is Angelo Solera. Our publishing company is Solera Publishing, which I created Solera Publishing because I didn't want somebody to tell me whether or not my books were good enough to be published. So I talked to somebody who published books, and I educated myself and learned about how do you create a publishing company, and I created my own publishing company so I could publish my own books.
So we're calling you a true self-publisher, and some people may wonder what I mean when I say that. What does that mean to you? Like, if you define yourself as a true self-publisher, what does that really mean to you?
To me, what it means is I had an idea. I talked to people who done it before, and I sort of did it my way, not knowing everything that I needed to know, but just having an idea, a dream about something that I wanted to do. I also didn't want it to do it my way or do what I think I should do, and then somebody else coming in along the way and taking that away from me, or making that something else that it wasn't what I really wanted. So I think that being a true self-publisher is a person who has that freedom to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. What about in terms of the process? Like, what was different about what you had to do as a true self-publisher than somebody who either was published by a small press or went the subsidy route?
I think I did it the wrong way, I guess. Most people first learn how to do it before they do it. I learned as I went.
Okay.
And I think that is it's a huge thing, because I think sometimes when you know, you might know too much, and what you know might prevent you from doing what you want to do, versus if you don't really know and you just keep showing up and keep showing up and keep doing things, and eventually you see things happening. So I think that's really what makes a difference for me. I think if I wouldn't know everything that I know now 5 years ago, I don't think I would have done it, because at the time I probably could not comprehend the amount of work that it will take to do everything I've done for the past 5 years, which is the time that I've been author and independent publisher.
You say that, but your second book came out under your own imprint, so you really did do it again. Knowing everything you knew.
What I knew then, it helped me to print my second book much easier, because I've learned so much since then, and I've continuously learning more and more, but I've learned differently than some other person who might go to a school or some other place and is told how to do it. I enjoy what I do because it's my dream, it's my project. I have control of it, and control doesn't mean to control something, but more that you have an idea and you can make that happen how you want it, regardless of what everybody else thinks about it, you know. And that's what I did. And you know, my second year obviously was much easier because I have much more experience, but still, when I did my second year, I was not as experienced as I am now. And if I do another book, is because I've learned that I can do it, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Versus in the beginning, not knowing anything, or somebody come and give you this whole lecture about what it takes to publish a book, and you'd be like, because I think that's what happened to most people. Most people see this huge endeavor, and they just figure, it's no way.
Yeah, and it is a huge endeavor, and it's a lot of work.
Yes.
But I mean, having gone through it twice now, how do you feel as far as the reward that you get from it and the control that you have? Is it worth all that work, or would you really recommend, if somebody were in the shoes, you know, that you were wearing at the beginning of this process, that they find a different way to go?
I think it all depends who you are as a person and why are you doing what you are doing. I think whether you are a writer or a painter or a singer or another form of art, if you love what you do, you don't really care. I think most of us are crazy in a sense that we see things and we think about things most differently than most people do. So therefore, we have a different way of looking at things. And I think it makes a difference. But like you were talking about, you have to be very committed. You have to be very, very passionate. You have to be consistent, you have to be determined, and everybody doesn't have that. And I think that's what makes a difference from people who do it and people who don't do it, because saying you're gonna do something is easy. Actually doing it day after day after day after day, it takes more than just willingness, I guess. More than just willingness.
How do you feel self-publishing could influence your ability to get published by a bigger publisher? Do you think that has affected your chances at all in one way or another?
Well, I think if at one point in my life as a writer would want to go that way, or the opportunity would happen, would appear, I think going to a publishing company and saying, this is what I've done so far, I think is huge, because it will show them, you know, all the work that I've done versus somebody who hasn't done anything and saying, I have a great book. I think it's a huge difference. Author and publisher of two books, The Journey, which is an English version, and El Camino, which is a Spanish version. And you can purchase those books through authorsbookshop.com or soledapublishing.com.
My name is Victor Volkman. I'm president of Loving Healing Press Incorporated in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
As a small publisher, how do you think that publishing with a smaller niche press might differ from publishing with a major publishing company?
Well, Brad, the big difference between small publishers and big publishers is primarily seen in the size of the print run. I mean, your big publishers will be able to print 10 to 20,000 copies of a book in a print run, and a small publisher maybe 2,000, 3,000 copies. And so the way that you can approach distributors and retail stores is a lot more limited.
Mm-hmm. But I imagine there are some benefits, though.
Right. Well, a smaller press, you know, you don't get lost in the corporate sort of getting pushed from one person to another. You've got one contact that you can deal with for everything. And I think some of the bookstores I work with, they really appreciate that, being able to call the publisher and always being able to talk to the same person. Because, you know, really being successful in publishing is all about building relationships. Any fool can put ink on paper, but the art of publishing is connecting the authors with the readers through the bookstores and the distributors and the wholesalers. It's all about connecting one person to another.
So what is the submission process like? I know for a major publishing house, you know, you'd get an agent and you'd go through that whole process.
Yeah, that's an advantage of working with a small press, is that you don't have a lot of protocol to deal with. I do get maybe one out of 20 submissions that are agented, and the agents that I've had to work with, I haven't found their interactions really pleasant. So I do prefer to work with the authors one-on-one. And, you know, every publisher has their own submission guidelines, and I frankly have given up expecting people to actually read them.
To follow them.
Yeah, I mean, it does take a lot of work to rehash all of your materials into whatever arbitrary guideline that some publisher wants to see. But the things that I ask for, if I don't get them, are, you know, an outline of the work with a well-written synopsis, and three chapters minimum for me to look at.
Now, if I wanted to start my own publishing company, or say you met somebody who was interested in doing that, so maybe they could publish their own book and maybe even in the works of others, how would they get started? What advice would you have for them for taking the first step towards starting their own publishing company?
Right. The first thing that you want to do is really understand the financial model from start to finish. And by that, I mean, you see a book listed for $19.95. How much of that goes to the distributor? How much of that goes to the bookstore? How much of that will make it to the author? How much of that are you going to spend on marketing? Until you really understand all the pieces of the pie, you can't really start to make rational decisions. So I always would say, you know, start with fundamental business rules.
And where would be a good source to start looking into that? You know, as far as understanding the nuts and bolts of the money in the book industry?
Well, you know, I do like the interplay in the self-publishing at Yahoo Groups. It's one of the oldest running forums for people to find out, and it's primarily all about educating people who are just starting out. And then, of course, you can read, you know, Dan Pointer's classic works on the subject, and he has a lot of little sort of white papers and bulletins that you can, for a dollar or two, you can get the lowdown on how wholesalers work or how distributors work, and they're all available from his para-publishing site. Dan Pointer's para-publishing.
All right, cool. Anything else you'd like to add from the perspective of the owner of a small press to, you know, other potential publishers or authors who are looking to get their books into print?
A lot of it is sweat equity, and you have to be willing to be a jack of all trades. I taught myself, you know, what I need to do typography and look pretty good. Taught myself, you know, the basics of graphic design and how to use, you know, real software tools for cover design. And you've got to be willing to take all of that on if you want to be an entrepreneur.
One, two, one, one, two, two, two,
Now it's time to call Carl Brown. Carl Brown is a Baltimore-based literary agent, and he always has something to say about our show's topic. This week, I asked him about the various paths to publishing.
If you wrote a book and you were going to publish it right now, how would you do it?
I would do self-publishing.
You would do self-publishing, and why?
Number one is because I know me. I want to be able to control where my fan base. I want to be able to control the monies and the funds that come in from my book. I want to be able to keep the message that I took the time out to write in the book. I want to make sure that message continues on. I want someone else to change it for me because they feel like it would be better suited this way. You know, if I took the time out to write it, I wanted to go that way. And
so you would self-publish because you want control.
Right. Basically, that's it. Control.
And with that, this week's journey comes to an end. And perhaps yours is set to begin, whatever path you may choose to get your book published. Special thanks for music this week from Sidara of Ramen Music. What does indie publishing sound like to you? To submit questions, leave a comment, or find out how you can contribute to the show, stop by indiebookman.com or send an email to theshow@indiebookman.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just click the links on our website. In the indie spirit of things, we think you might enjoy a fellow member of the Baltimore Podcasting Network, Jeffrey Welchman, and the Inverse Delirium.
In April 2010, the future of podcasting arrived, waited in the lobby for about an hour, and then left to get a sandwich. In the meantime, there's the Inverse Delirium. I'm Jeffrey Welchman, host of a really funny show, inspired by the likes of Monty Python, Fire Sign Theater, Mr. Show, and Word Jazz. Look for us at InverseDelirium.com. The Inverse Delirium. The funniest podcast you haven't heard yet.
To hear more of the Inverse Delirium podcast, look for the link on our website. Remind all your friends to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so they won't miss a beat. I'm the indie bookman, Brad Grahowski, reminding you that the indie publishing revolution starts now.
The Indie Bookman Show is hosted by Brad Grahowski, written and produced by Brad Grahowski and Sean P. Vitt. Production assistant Emma Grahowski, recorded and edited by technical director Sean P. Vitt. Brought to you by the generous support of ForZeroNoise.com and AuthorsBookshop.com. Reminding you to buy indie, sell indie, be indie.